Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, did you hear that almost 90,000 people headed to MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands last night? And it wasn't for a football game or a Springsteen concert. It was for the Talmud, the collection of rabbinical writings on Jewish laws and traditions, and the culmination of the 7.5-year cycle of reading a page a day. Joining me to explain the party and how it's changing, how the reading of the Talmud is affecting people and changing people, is Jane Eisner, editor of the Jewish Daily Forward. Hi, Jane. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much for having me.
And listeners, seriously, if you have done this, read a page a day of the Talmud for the 7.5 years that it took to get through 2,711 pages, do you have a favorite passage? Do you have a favorite page? Or even if you didn't do it to that extent, Talmud readers, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Jane, first explain for the uninitiated what the Talmud is.
Well, the Talmud is a compendium of a commentary from about 1,500 years ago. There actually are two versions of it, one from Babylon and one from Jerusalem. But it essentially created the rituals and philosophy of Jewish life after the biblical period. And most of the more observant Jews take the Talmud extremely seriously. Move along the liberal spectrum in Judaism, you will find that there would be less Talmud study in conservative and reform synagogues, although certainly it does occur there. But for the Orthodox and for the Haredim, the very devout Jews, the Talmud is as important as Torah, and is something that is to be learned and relearned over time.
Let's take a caller. Mel in Edison. Mel, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi. I would just like to first comment on what Jane Eisner just said. There are actually two parts to the Talmud. There's the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah is a compendium of laws that were compiled in Jerusalem or in Israel. The Gemara, which is what most people think of as Talmud, is the discussion centering on those Mishnahs. I would also like to just comment, it's not 2,1100 pages, it's 2,711 folios, which is two sides of a page. We have to do every day both sides of a page in order to finish in 7.5 years.
So that's over 5,000, what we usually call pages. Were you at
correct.
The Meadowlands last night?
I was there last night. It, unfortunately, due to traffic, it took me 2.5 hours to get there, but I was there, and I was there until around 1 o'clock in the morning. It went way over schedule, but it was very, very enjoyable and inspiring.
So do you have a favorite passage? Is that a crazy question?
That's not, you know, given all the pages, that's not a very meaningful question, but I do have a favorite. There's a tractate that deals with the laws of Passover, and that's several chapters, but one of the chapters deals with the laws of the Seder. And it's really shows that these laws, the practices that we do now every year, go all the way back 1,500 years at least to the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara. And there are details there that we follow and observe down to today.
Mel, thank you very much. Moshe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. You were there last night too, huh?
Hello?
Hi, Moshe.
Yeah, I'm actually in Queens. I just wanted to make sure we're
I'm sorry.
The same person.
It is you, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, as the previous caller said, it's very hard to pick a favorite passage out of such a long piece of literature. But there is a very important passage that was actually read last night because it's the last two lines of the last tractate of the Talmud. And it states there that whoever studies law or laws daily is assured to get a place in paradise. And that to me, that's very meaningful in a society today where basically, you know, it's kind of anything goes, and you know, there's no rules to you know, personal conduct other than not harming other people directly. So the idea that a life that's regulated by laws, and you study laws daily, and the laws are meant to sanctify the person and make the life meaningful, that passage is very powerful.
Moshe, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Anyone else who was there? 212-433-WNYC. So Jane Eisner from The Forward, these 2,700 tracts or 5,000 pages, depending on how you count, you know, that's more pages than the Obama health reform law. Are there a few major themes that dominate the Talmud?
Oh, gosh, I'm not a Talmud scholar, and I don't want to represent myself in that way. I think that, as you might have detected from the callers already, you're talking about laws that have a philosophy behind them, but really govern the details of the way people live. How to conduct married life, what does it mean to be a pure person, not just sort of philosophically, but in terms of day-to-day life, how to celebrate the holidays. This really set out a system for living. And I think that is why there is such still a lasting appeal all these many centuries later to study this.
I think it's important to point out that there were 20,000 women there last night out of the 90,000 or so attendees, but separated by a curtain, a $250,000 curtain, I've heard. And from what I gather, women are not supposed to read the Talmud, but they're there in support of the men. Or they're not barred from reading the Talmud, but they weren't allowed to officially take part in this. What exactly is the restriction by gender?
Well, there's a couple of things that happened. The reason for the mechitza, the curtain, was that the event last night opened with prayers, and among the Orthodox, men and women do not pray together. And furthermore, depending on how observant or how strict you are, women are really meant to not be seen or heard during the prayer. So that was the reason for the curtain. And I understand, I was not there myself, but I understand that after the prayers, the curtain was opened so that the women could see all what was going on and hear the speeches and the songs and whatever. There's a dispute about whether or not it's appropriate for women to study Talmud. Certainly in this very fine story that our reporter Paul Berger did in this week's Forward, he talked to experts who had different points of view. There are certainly prohibitions in many Orthodox communities against women studying Talmud, but even among the Orthodox now, there's a growing trend of women studying, sometimes just with other women, sometimes with men. And in fact, one of the more moderate reform communities in New York is going to have its own celebration in a couple of weeks.
But how do you feel? I mean, it's a little hard to sit here with a straight face, isn't it, and say, okay, we're talking about the accumulated wisdom of the ages in the Talmud, of which there is much, but say that it's a legitimate topic of debate at this point whether women should be allowed to study a book.
Well, so look, from my perspective, in which I am a sort of a very strict egalitarian Jew, I believe that anything my husband is allowed to do or required to do, I should be allowed or required to do as well. And so from my perspective, yes, I think that it's kind of crazy to keep this incredibly important text away from women and to not allow that to happen. Frankly, some of the most brilliant Jewish intellectuals I know are women. But, we also abide by the notion of freedom of religion and freedom to practice religion as one believes in it. And I don't personally follow that tradition, but I do understand there it is, and I think we have to respect it. And my goodness, nobody else draws crowds like that. No one else does.
They don't run a kosher Chick-fil-A. Never mind. Kim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kim.
Hi. I just wanted to say hi to Jane and tell her that this is her director of advertising over here at The Forward, and I was thrilled to be one of the 20,000 women that were at the Siyum last night, and miraculously, somebody gave me a ticket, and I ended up there. And I come from a very secular background, as Jane knows, and have been learning Torah for the last 20, 25 years of my life and did not do so. I just went to Hebrew school. I come from a conservative Judaism background and had a bat mitzvah and am definitely all about women learning, but I'm lucky because I'm in New York City and have been able to study Talmud and Torah and Parsha. And I think that it was a gift to me that I was at such a life-changing, inspiring evening where there were 90,000 people saying the Kaddish and Tehillim and Psalms for all kinds of things, and people saying, 90,000 people saying Amen is a sort of an extraordinary opportunity. It only comes around once every 7.5 years. And I sat in the women's section, and there was a mechitza, and women prayed mincha, and I thought it was kind of silly that there was a mechitza since the men were miles away and
curtain,
they couldn't see anyway.
Right, the curtain is the mechitza.
The curtain. There was a green curtain hung on metal, and I think you're right about the money you said that they spent on it.
$250,000. But are you conflicted then?
No, I wasn't conflicted at all. I was very proud of the men that have made a commitment to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and study at 11 o'clock at night, but I don't think that community, the Haredi community, of which I'm very familiar.
That's a very Orthodox community.
Right, but, you know, there are lots of other people in more modern circles. Like, I travel in a much more modern circle than that, and I'm not egalitarian, but there are lots of women learning opportunities that do study Talmud. And
Kim,
I think,
is there any, because I have to move on,
sure.
But is there any particular favorite passage or theme of your own?
Well, last night, I can't say that because I don't want to talk. I also would say, like Jane, I'm not an expert in Talmud, but I would say that Rabbi Frand last night spoke about the turbulence of the sea and that the Daf Yomi, which was originally historically started so that one Jew in Israel, if they took a ship from Israel to New York and they were studying the same passage of Gemara no matter where they were in the world, and they came and met a stranger on the Lower East Side, which is where the Forward started, that they would immediately have common ground with their fellow Jew. And last night's theme was about Achdut and unity. And the rabbis talked about Black Hat and Strimals and Ashkenaz and Sephardic and baseball caps and women and men, and everybody was there, and it was a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous show of unity for the Jewish people. And I think there is opportunity for more women to be and men to be, you know, inspired outside of the Haredi and the Orthodox. I think reform and conservative movements will have seen this on the news and will be inspired to study more Torah across the board.
And Kim, that's it for this segment. Really interesting conversation, and I'm glad we were able to cover this, Jane, as something other than a traffic story, which is what I think I've mostly heard in the media today. So, Jane Eisner, the editor of The Forward, Jewish Daily Newspaper, thank you very much for coming on and talking about the celebration of Talmud after 7.5 years of the reading cycle being concluded for the tens of thousands of people who were at the Meadowlands last night. Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And also, listeners, if you want to hear more about this, WNYC's Arun Venugopal covered the event, and you can hear his report later today on All Things Considered. Coming up next, we will change direction entirely and finish out the day with, as I get ready to take off for vacation next week, what one book or track of music should I take with me? What one book, folks, or one track of music should I and anyone else who's going on an August vacation take with us? Call us right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.